Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have another amazing program for you today. It's all about how to talk to your partner about sex. Now, any conversation about sex, if you haven't been open about it in the past, can be challenging to have. So my guest today is David Essel. David is a counselor, master life coach, international speaker, minister, and author of 10 books, including the best-selling book called Love and Relationship Secrets That Everyone Needs to Know. His new book is called 50 Plus Flavors of Erotic Love, Leaving the Vanilla World for Ecstasy. For more information about David, his books, or to work with him one-on-one from anywhere in the world, please go to davidessel.com. So welcome to the program, David. It's a pleasure to have you with us again today.
Dr. Terry, I have been looking forward so much to being back on with you because the last show we had a blast, and I know we're going to do the same today.
I know we did, and what a great discussion. And I know listeners benefited so much from your relationship advice. Now, before we get to the topic, though, David, I know you began your career in the health and fitness industry. So tell listeners, how did you become interested in the world of relationships?
Well, you know, I from 1980 until around 1989, for the first 10 years, you know, I worked in sports psychology and health and fitness, as you mentioned. And then, Dr. Terry, I burned out. You know, I'm a very multifaceted person and thinker, and I felt like I was handcuffed working in only one industry. And in 1990, I had a woman who came to me first because she was a track star and she was failing and achieving goals. And we found out the number one reason that she wasn't achieving what she wanted to was because she had so much resentment against a former husband who left her for a younger girl. So in 1990, all of a sudden, I had this opportunity to work with someone that really needed to go deep into the world of forgiveness and release of resentments. And then that took off. You know, I became a minister. I started doing marriage counseling. And it's just been an incredible ride. There really isn't anything we don't talk about. But one of my favorite topics is the one, Terry, that you hit every day. It's a topic that affects most of the people in the world, and that's relationships, intimacy, and making sure that in a monogamous relationship, which is what my books are all about, that your needs are being met as well as your partner's needs being met. But we don't see that happening all the time, do we?
No, we don't. And I think a lot of people don't even know what their own needs are. And so how can they tell them to someone or expect someone else to even know their needs if they don't know them themselves?
Exactly. You know, in our new book that you mentioned, 50 Plus Flavors of Erotic Love, I'm going to tell you a personal story. I've been working in the world of erotic love since 1997. And how I got there was that I was dating a woman at that time for a number of years, and I was really into her. She was into me. I was very turned on to her. But because of my upbringing, I felt very guilty and ashamed of speaking to her about her body. Mm-hmm. And so we're together for a couple years, and I wanted in the worst way to be able to tell her, you know, her breasts drive me crazy, her waist drives me crazy, French kissing drives me crazy. Like, there were so many things I wanted to say to her, but I was so afraid mm-hmm. of what most couples are, and that's criticism, rejection, or abandonment when you're open in your sensual life.
So, and that's so true. I mean, you're not alone, David, at all, as you know, right?
Yeah. And so here it was around 1996, 97, and I decided I'm going to go for it. You know, I got my first email account in 1995. And so we had gone out to dinner and we had come home and I sent her this email. And it said, I don't know how you're going to handle this, but I cannot keep this inside me anymore. You know, we just got out of the restaurant. I'm watching your silhouette in the moon. I'm looking at the breasts, your breasts that I love. I'm looking at your waist. I'm looking at your lips. I'm looking at your face. I'm totally in love with you. Mm-hmm. But I've never shared anything about my physical love for you. And so I'm going to take a risk and put it out there. And, you know, Terry, my biggest concern, as most guys would be, is that, oh, my God, she's going to call me a pig, that I'm objectifying her. And I want to make this really important point. In my belief system as a counselor, there's no such thing as objectification of a woman if you're a guy, if you are with them and you're speaking openly and honestly. And that was my confusion at the time, Dr. Terry. You know, I felt, oh, my God, if I talk about her body parts, she's going to think I'm a pig and all this stuff. And the exact opposite happened. I get this response back from her, an email the next day saying, oh, my God, we've been together all these years. You've never mentioned anything about my body. I didn't know you were into me at that level. I didn't know you felt. And it was a massive breakthrough for me. And in that year is when I started to attract couples that wanted a deeper, intimate, sensual life. And then I waited 23 years before I wrote this book because I wanted to have a ton of data and incredible stories from clients. And throughout the whole book, 50 plus flavors of erotic love, you will see story after story in my own clients' words of how their life radically changed when they learned the power of erotic intimacy.
So tell us first, let's go back to the beginning of your story. Thank you for sharing that wonderful personal story. You mentioned that people are afraid or are uncomfortable about talking about sex or their partner's body to the partner because of rejection, because of embarrassment. Give us some other reasons why people aren't able to talk about sex and their bodies.
Great question, Terry. Great question. How many of us are raised in a sexually liberal household?
Not many.
How many people are taught about masturbation? How many people are taught about sex? How many people are taught about oral sex? How many people are taught about mutual masturbation? How many parents educate their kids at all? And the answer is, I don't know, maybe 1%. Terry, do you have a guess?
I actually would guess a little bit more, but it depends on the age of the parents. I think more and more in today's world, it is changing. But I agree with you. If we're talking about people who are 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, they have not had that kind of childhood nor family background.
And so you're raised in this environment where sex is a no talk and it's a no zone. It's a deal killer. Mm-hmm. You're raised in an environment that creates shame and guilt around your own body, for God's sake, as well as being able to verbalize your desires, needs, and wants. Religion comes into play for a lot of people and creates a lot of shame and guilt around sex. So here we're raised in this environment where that, no, we don't talk about that. Just don't get pregnant. No, we don't talk about that. Just don't get an STD. No, we don't talk. You know, and it's like, wait a minute, you're jumping the process. Why don't we go back to square one and start to learn about it? You know, years ago, Terry, on one of my radio shows, I interviewed a woman. I wish I could remember her name in the book. This is going back to the early 90s. She was brilliant. She was going around high schools in this country teaching young women about masturbation. And the purpose of it, she said, was that in her studies, a lot of young girls will have sex with a guy and then think that the only way they can find pleasure is by having a guy inside them. And so she wanted to empower these teenagers to say, hey, you don't need a guy to have that kind of great feeling. And plus, if you get to know your body when you're in a relationship, you can teach your partner about what feels good, what doesn't feel good, what you like, what you don't like. But most of us, and I can tell you from my female clients, they just go along with the male lead. You know, they don't talk. Or a lot of my female clients would say, well, God, you know, he's 40, he's 50, he's 60. He should know how to take care of a woman by now. But I go, wait a minute. Not every woman's body responds the same to touch of the nipples, the inner thigh, the clitoris, or whatever we're talking about, you know? And so we need to get to know ourselves first. And in the book, 50 Plus Flavors of Erotic Love, I give this incredible list of over 50 things to talk to your partner about that might excite you. Everything like really subtle, like oil massages before making love, blindfolds as a sensory deprivation, you know, earplugs as sensory deprivation. We go through all of these different options so couples can look at this list. And in there, I give them an exercise. And I say, go through the list and circle certain topics that you might be interested in talking to your partner about. And then go online and learn more about that topic that's in the book. And then when you're confident and you're comfortable, then what we say, bring it up to your partner in a non-intimate setting. You know, instead of just saying, well, he's this age or she's this age, they should know what to do. We break it down to these simple exercises of communication. And then we say this, Terry, and this is crucial. If your partner is not into whatever you are, don't take it personally. Continue down the list until you find something that you mutually agree upon. Because going back to family history, the role of religion and shame and guilt and sex, there's a lot of people that have not a clue of what they would enjoy doing because they've been so embarrassed to ask their partner to do a certain thing during oral sex or to ask their partner to go slower. Or here's a great story. I had an engaged couple and they were gonna break off the engagement. And when I was working with the young woman, she said, you know, he comes home from work and it's like within 30 seconds, he has me in bed making love. And my body doesn't respond like that. So what we found that she had never spoken to any of her previous boyfriends about is that her body needs 15 to 20 minutes of soft touch, of kissing, of speaking intimately for her to start to open up, to become wet enough to take him in without any discomfort. And so when she presented it to him, she said, hey, listen, my counselor said for 15 minutes, you can't go in there. You know, you're like, for 15 minutes, we have to sit on the couch and cuddle and touch and kiss and talk, and then my body will respond to you. So it's things like that that is so important to understand when we're trying to learn how to communicate about intimacy with our partner.
And such good information and advice, and that exercise in your book with the 50 options as well. Now, let's say listeners are, you know, listening today and they're in a relationship. It's been 20, 25, let's even say 50 years, David. And they have never had a conversation about sex before with their partner. And it sounds very scary what you're saying, because as you said, background, religion, discomfort, they don't even know their bodies very well. How do they start a conversation? Like, what strategy are we? What even words would you give them to start a conversation with their partner?
Dr. Terry, this is so crucial what you're asking right now. And I'm going to say this not as a self-promotion point of view, but just as a reality. You know, I encourage your listeners to buy the book 50 Plus Flavors of Erotic Love. It's available soft cover or Kindle. And it answers every question in the book, because what you said, it's fascinating the way you led into this question. In the book, we probably have about 50 articles written by, or snippets, if you will, written by clients who were together for some of them 3 years. They hadn't kissed in 3 years. Others had been together for 20, 30, 40 years, and they make love like because they're supposed to, not because they want to. Right. And so we have all these people that have said, you know, once they started to follow the list in the book, once they started really slowly to say, hey, can we talk about our intimacy? You know, we've never really gone down that road before. And I'd like to know if you might be interested in X. And when we say X, we say always start with something simple. You know, like an oil massage. If you've never given your partner an oil massage, oh my God, please do it this weekend, or maybe even right after the show.
Good one, David. I like that.
You know, and like start to offer your partner, instead of saying like right away, I want this from you, I need that from you, let's reverse it and say, hey, if there was something that I've never done for you to make you feel more connected, more loved, more physically turned on, what would it be? You know, in other words, get their engagement. But one of the things that we like about the way we formatted the book was that when people have, and literally, Terry, this is so many people, they don't know because they've never done anything outside of the norm for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. So the book sort of tickles their brain. And you look at that list and you go, oh, you know what? I've never used a feather on my partner's nipples. I've never used a feather on my male partner's genitals. I've never, and all of a sudden we start to see all of these very simple initial steps into erotic love that can really blow your mind. You know, there's, I have a story in there that's really cute. And there was a woman that came to me. Her husband is a CPA. She said he's straight laced. She goes, David, my needs aren't getting met. I'm on the cusp of having an affair. I know you do erotic love counseling. My husband will never come. Could you take me through? So we have an 8-week course. So I took her through the 8-week course and, you know, she had to read the book. She had to answer all these questions. And unbeknownst to her, that when she came home from the sessions and took a shower and left her notebook out, her husband was reading everything she was writing from the sessions.
Wow, that's so interesting. He was noticing that she was doing something to improve the relationship.
Totally. And all of a sudden she gets home one day and there's a note on the bed and it says, take a shower and put your hair up the way I love it. It really turns me on. In the bed, in the closet is new lingerie and new heels. Put them on. Underneath the bed are 3 to 4 different fun tools that we can use or toys. I want you to choose the ones that you want. Put them on the bed, put the blindfold on, and lay there until I walk into the room. And then this is what he said next. I've been reading your notes. I know what you want, and I'm ready to deliver. And she said all of a sudden, her husband was a big guy. All of a sudden, she could sense his presence in the room. And she had put out a feather and something else. And she said, David, I had no idea that when you and I were talking about the shift in consciousness with erotic love, she said, at the end of him using the feather and using oil and everything else, she said, my heart was exploding in love. Mm-hmm. And now there's a lot of the stories, Terry, most of the stories in the book were people who were considering an affair, who were addicted to pornography or workaholism in order to stay away from home because they weren't happy with their intimate life, or they were in emotional affairs with people. And, you know, most of them were in trouble. And, right. And the funny thing is, you know, I say this all the time. The book 50 Shades of Grey didn't sell millions of copies to radical, liberal, sexually liberated people. The main purchaser of 50 Shades of Grey were highly conservative women. And what does that tell you? You know, it tells you that we have this underground desire to explore, to connect. And one of the things we say in the book is, and this is crucial for our listeners to hear, one of the most powerful ways to bring erotic intimacy into your life is to worship your partner mentally and physically. And when you worship your partner, just, and that's what happened to me.
Yeah, what does that mean, by the way, worship your partner mentally and physically?
So the example I gave of the email I sent to my partner in 1996, that I was worshiping her mentally and emotionally with words. You know, I am so turned on by this. I am so in love with you because of that. I was worshiping her. You know, and that's from a mental, emotional point of view, a text, an email, whatever it might be. Like, you know, you can do it in person, but I think it has real power when it's sent with a note, just like when, you know, the CPA left the note on the bed, do this, 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 and this, right? He was worshiping her. He went out and bought her, you know, the lingerie, the heels, the toys. It's a form of worship. And then as you read in the book, you know, there's usually in all relationships, there's an assertive partner and a passive partner. The assertive partner in the world of erotica, we call the dominant. The passive partner, we call the submissive. But, you know, life has changed. When I first got into the erotic world of love, the dominant was totally in charge, and it didn't matter what the submissive, passive partner wanted to do. They had to pay attention to the dominant. And what we're saying in 2020, this lifestyle has totally changed. The assertive dominant partner needs to worship his passive submissive partner, or in some cases, the passive submissive partner is the male, which we have stories of that in the book. Quite fascinating. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. when you get into that mindset, you know, and I have a former partner of mine who was my submissive for years. She writes an incredible opening to the book about how she had never experienced the depth of love until she entered this type of lifestyle. So worshiping is mental, it's physical. You know, when you're in front of your partner, to tell them how turned on you are by them and how much you love their touch and how much you want to make sure that they're fully satisfied every moment you're together, that's worshiping.
Mm-hmm. And so when you do worship, David, when you do talk about sex with your partner, what have you seen in terms of your clients as the benefits, as the consequences of this worship, of this talking?
Well, first of all, it destroys 90% of the need for affairs, pornography, because you're getting your needs met at home now. That's probably number one. Mm-hmm. When you really get to understand the power of worship, and, you know, I gradually moved into this arena, you know, even though I started in the mid 90s, it took me a number of years to get very comfortable of what my role was. And here's the thing, when I talk about worship, I want my partner to feel, and you know, I am assertive, I'm dominant, and so my partners in the bedroom are almost always going to be passive, submissive, but we're equal. And this is the thing, the passive, submissive partner, when they read the book and understand the power of their role, they are just as much in control, and sometimes more, Terry, than the assertive, dominant partner. And so I learned over the years that when I took my time and worshiped my passive, submissive partner, that she came closer to me, that our hearts opened wider. And there was no way either of us were going to screw this up. There was no way either of us were going to have affairs, emotional or physical, because what we had discovered with each other was something we had never had before.
And it sounds like when you do worship, when you do talk about sex, David, there's greater closeness and intimacy, better sex as well in the couple. But also, I hear you talking about individual benefits as well, whether that be confidence, whether that be empowerment, whether that be self-esteem, whether that be knowing yourself and getting your own needs met. Am I correct?
Absolutely, 100%. And, you know, in the book, we even talk about, you know, we share a story of a woman that was like 100, 150 pounds overweight, who never thought she could be sensual, never thought she could be sexual. She never lost an ounce. And at the end of the program, her whole mindset had changed, the way she dressed, her makeup had changed, and she found the most incredible partner. This male, who was actually a very average size, if not thin, worshipped her and told her, "Your body is not it. You don't have to change a thing. I love your intimacy. I love your erotic open mind. I love the way we connect." And that's the beauty. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter your body size, your income. This type of love is available to everyone.
And it sounds like that you want singles and couples or partners in relationships to read the book as well. So, David, we only have a few minutes left, 2 minutes. If there's one message that you want people to take away from today's program, what might that be?
There's no need for affairs. There's no need for addiction to pornography. There's no need for workaholism to avoid your partner if your needs aren't getting met. There's no need for addiction to alcohol to numb yourself out. What the need is to get clear with what it is you desire in your relationship, what your partner desires, get on the same page, and you will find a love and intimacy and an emotional connection that you probably have never experienced in your entire life.
Great message, David. Great message and great advertising for the book. I love it. Thank you so much for joining me today, David. What a pleasure talking to you again in a great, great discussion and relationship advice.
Terry, I love being with you. Any other time I can help, please let us know.
Oh, yes, we will be calling you again. I know listeners want to hear your advice again. And listeners, if you're interested in learning more about David Esso, working with him one-on-one, or his latest book called 50 plus flavors of erotic love, please go to davidessel.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I am Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.